And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events, and there's lots of those, for Monday, June 19th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, we saw some pressure on gold once again today. We're viewing gold prices down. Oh, you're looking at down 10 bucks today at 12.47. Silver is down just 20 cents at 16.58. Platinum is barely unchanged, down 2 bucks at 9.27. And palladium was down big 11 bucks at $864. And of course, that's the type of reaction that we would expect when you have all the markets just going through the roof like there is no tomorrow. You have the Dow up 142 points, 21,526. Excuse me. The NASDAQ is up 27 at 62.39. The S&P was up 20 at 24.53. 10-year yield up 0.03 at 2.19. You have oil down just fraction, just a tad, 44.17. The euro is 1.12, down 0.44 with a stronger dollar today. And let's go ahead and see. You know, it's just, you know, pretty much as business as usual. And our reality is certainly
It's foreign to our markets, Melody.
It is.
This is kind of like Walt Disney and the rest of it's the happiest kingdom of them all.
What's interesting, back in June 13th, we talked a little bit about this. The U.S. Treasury Department, they unveiled a sweeping plan to upend the country's financial regulatory framework. Okay? And this is why your markets are, this is would grant many items on Wall Street's wish list. This is their, give me a wish list, you got it, baby. The nearly 150-page report has suggested more than 100 changes, most which would be made through regulators rather than Congress. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said, "We were very focused on what we can do by executive order and through regulators. We think about 80% of the substance in the report can be accomplished by regulatory changes and about 20% by legislation." And President Donald Trump has gradually been nominating heads of finance agencies to carry out his agenda. So, you know, people think that all this legislation, all the changes in regulation is really going to help the little guy out there. Anybody who really thinks that, you've got to be kidding me. It really is only going to help Wall Street. Now, if Wall Street helps the little guy for some reason, well, you know, then he'll benefit from it. But it really does go strictly to Wall Street. And if you think it's going to be any different, I'm it's part of the illusion. My problem is, do we accept all these changes, 150-page report, 100 changes, and 80% of that, is it okay that 80% of it is done by executive orders?
I don't think it is at all.
I mean, you know, it wasn't right when Obama did it. It doesn't right when any other president does it. And it really isn't okay that Trump does it either.
It's a denial of fundamental principle of government that the legislature is a separate branch of government from the executive. The executive doesn't make laws, it merely enforces them. It's up to the legislature to make laws. And insofar as they abandon and say, well, we'll do this regulations, it's just the legislature is abandoning its constitutional duty and surrendering power to the president, where he winds up in a position where he can function something like a dictator rather than an administrator. All he's supposed to be is the chief executive. He's not supposed to be the king. He's not supposed to be the lawmaker. The law enforcer is what he's supposed to be, and these are two different occupations, two different roles, and they shouldn't be handing all this executive power over to the legislative power to the executive branch of government.
No, to me, it should only be, and then you even question it in times of an emergency or something like that, Al. But, you know, I mean, every president issues hundreds and hundreds of them, and everybody just allows it to go on.
It's a relatively new phenomenon. It isn't, I mean, George Washington did not issue hundreds of executive orders, and most of the presidents didn't do that. I think it's really just in the last...
The modern presidents.
Yeah, right. Modern presidents. In our lifetime, we've seen an increase. But, I mean, Bush was... When he was there, he was a lot of... Compared to previous presidents, my understanding is GW. He made a lot of executive orders. And then Obama came in and he showed him how... You know, he had one a day, if not more. And now we have Trump doing this. It's a dangerous threat to our constitutional form of government, insofar as we still have one. And it's not a good sign. It shouldn't be that way. It's wrong. And what it comes down to, this is an abandonment by Congress of its constitutional duties to make the laws. They're just saying, we don't have time. We don't have time to make all these laws. So we're just going to let the regulators do it. What is their authority? If the regulator decides he doesn't like the color of your house, he passes a new law that houses painted green get burned to the ground. Well, we're supposed to go along with that. We are giving enormous power to regulators, to the president in particular, but regulators in the different bureaucracies, and they are making law. They say it's regulation, but they're actually making law. And they don't have constitutional right to do that.
And all it does is benefit Wall Street. That's it. So, Doug Nolan, Credit Bubble Bulletin. I talked to you a little bit prior to the program, and he has a nice article. I didn't have a chance to put it into this week's newsletter. Perhaps I can get it in next week. It's very lengthy, and I only pulled out a little bit, and basically two little paragraphs. And he talks about the memories of the effects of the credit and asset bubbles from 2008, how it has faded from everyone's memory, and the disastrous aftermath of the Fed aggressively stimulating mortgage credit. And that was the centerpiece of its post-tech bubble reflation strategy, and all that has been wiped away by the cagey hand of historical revisionism. And he goes on and he talks about the consequences of loose financial conditions that we've had. And I guess we're in an anniversary in 2 days. It'll be a 10-year anniversary. He calls these folks charlatans, money quacks. It was terminology pulled from analysis of the long and sordid history of monetary booms and busts. And that today's central bankers are destroying the sanctity of money with no meaningful pushback. And while they risk calamity, pundits claim that there's little risk in zero rates and creating trillions of new money. And so long as securities prices are high, all must be well markets and with policy. And we talk about that all the time. As long as the stock market prices are high, all is well in the land of Oz. And as long as you have those high stock market prices, gold and silver, you can't have those prices high when you have these numbers with the stock markets and the security markets. And the article is lengthy and I'm not going to bring it on here, but you know, it is. This is what these people have done. They have destroyed our system.
Yeah. But again, you know, we harp on this on a we talk about this on a fairly regular basis. They didn't destroy it last week, last month, or in the last decade. Where the real trouble hit is when they went off, when they took the currency and made a pure fiat currency out of it. Instead of an asset-based currency, we have a debt-based currency. It is leading us inevitably to catastrophe, and the government is in a situation where there's nothing they can do other than kick the can down the road and try to prevent the calamity for another 2 years or 5 years or however many they can prevent the calamity. But this is coming at us, and the only way out, if there is a way out, is we have to go back to an asset-based currency, in my opinion. And they can't do it. I don't think they've got enough gold to do it, even if they wanted to. And they can't go back, don't want to go back, I'm sure. They want the power and the control they get from having a fiat currency that they can print up whenever they need some. They want that. It's a great advantage to government. It's a great advantage to growing government, bigger and bigger and bigger. They don't want to give that power up, but it's going to take the whole economy down. And when it does, the big problem will be trying to communicate the idea of what the real problem is. In the event of some sort of an economic calamity, there are going to be people standing around pointing fingers at Trump, at Obama, at whoever. And I don't think that finger pointing will be reasonable, rational, realistic. The finger pointing has to go back to when we went off asset-based money and we settled for a debt-based currency.
But
when
you don't
made that transition,
now.
It goes all the way back to 1971. When we made that transition, we put this nation on a path to, and you could go back further, you go back to 33 when they took the gold out of domestic circulation and 68 when they removed silver from domestic circulation. But when they really severed the link between even foreign dollars and gold, 71 destroyed that link, that's when they started this country on a path to disaster, in my opinion.
People are losing 60-70% of their money. They're not going to be pointing their fingers at anyone. They're going to be pointing to see who will be able to stop the losses, just like they did in 2007. We're 2 months away from the 10-year anniversary of the Fed's August 17th, 2007 extraordinary measures to promote the restoration of orderly conditions in the financial markets. That's all people want to know about when they're losing 60 and 70% of their money. And this is their retirement money. And these are old people. These are retired people. They don't have the opportunity to go out and make it back in the short period of time that they're going to have on this planet anymore. So all they want is to have it stopped. They want to have some sort of restoration, some kind of orderly conditions in the financial markets. So, and that's what they'll, and that's all they will look for.
But do you think there will be a restoration? Once that wealth disappears, it's gone. There's not going to be a restoration. What there if there's any kind of a restoration, is politicians, presidents, whoever, who are promising. They say, oh, we've got big trouble right now, but we've got it under control, and we think we'll be able to restore everybody's wealth here within the next 18 months. Well, no. If you buy that and you go along with the program, and I'm not saying you shouldn't, but I'm just saying if you do, you will probably be disappointed because I don't think they can restore.
It's not going to have the restoration like they had. It's not going to be the restoration like they had in 2008, but they will need to hear from the leaders a calming effect, and restoration will be one of the worlds. It'll be the restoration for three generations from now, perhaps. But I mean, the markets will stem, commerce continues, the world continues. I believe they will come up with a new Bretton Woods. There will be a new monetary system in place.
Maybe so. But the point is, people who are depending on pieces of paper to preserve their wealth into what may be a calamity down the road in the next, months or years, I don't know when. But if you think you can rely on paper, I think you're going to be sadly disappointed.
Absolutely.
And once that debt disappears, you just, goodbye. It's been nice talking to you. Your pension's gone. Your savings will be gone. They may not be gone completely, but they'll be gone substantially. And it will not be recovered. And the result is a lot of people who depend on that paper wealth are going to find themselves impoverished with no way out. All right? The only way you're going to get out of this is you're going to have to be a hard worker, a smart worker, a brilliant worker. You're going to have something going for you where you can work your way out of the hole that we're going to fall into in the foreseeable future. And if you don't have the talent, ability, drive to work your way out of the situation, you're going to stay in that hole. And you're going to stay there until they nail the lid shut on the box.
And I think this is why I believe it's not going... We're experiencing the slow train to the collapse. I believe it's going to be
so far.
I believe it's going to be an overnight deal when the majority of the money is being lost, because people have been conditioned right now. Doesn't matter how many warnings they get, they're staying in the markets. There's not a lot of fear or panic of the markets. There's a lot of amazement. There's a lot of, well, you know what? It just really doesn't make sense. But hey, I'm good to go, you know, because I'm in there and things are great and they're happy. You're not going to have it like we had in 2007, 2008, 2009, where people had time to get out and so forth. Not this time. And they know that.
They had time to get out in part because the government was still stimulating the market. I don't think they're going to be able to do that this time. I don't think they have the resources to pull that off if we have another recession of the sort we saw.
My point is they'll have to have a system after the fact, but that'll be after people have already lost their money.
Yep.
And that's why it's going to happen overnight, because they can't afford to have people withdrawing their funds. So it's going to be quick.
One of the reasons it may happen overnight is we've already seen some reference, some evidence of this in the 2007-2008 problem. Ben Bernanke came out and said, if we don't do something, give money to the banks. And he was talking on Friday. He said, they're too big to fail. The economy will collapse by Monday. All right? We were within days and perhaps hours of an economic collapse.
Yeah, sometimes I wonder.
All right?
Yeah.
And when they talk about it, he thought it could, Ben Bernanke, he was his chairman of the Federal Reserve. He was talking at the time. We're not going to just ease into this. This is going to happen within the next 72 hours unless we do something dramatic. And they did. And they prevented a collapse, which is a good thing. But to say prevent is the wrong word. They postponed a collapse. Right? And in doing so, they perhaps guaranteed that when we do have this correction, this possible collapse coming at us, it'll be just that much worse than it would have been if we'd taken our medicine in 2008.
I can hear Ben Bernanke on Monday. Golly, it worked! I'll guarantee those.
But even then, it didn't work. Really?
Just as surprised as no, they had to keep stimulating, and they still lost today.
They tossed in $800 billion, and they thought that would be enough to solve it. And it turned out it wasn't. But
well,
it did prevent. It prevented the collapse, but it wasn't enough to sustain the system. They wound up putting in trillions. They thought, oh my God, $800 billion, most money we'd ever done, and the biggest stimulus we. They thought it was a really big deal. Turned out it was nothing.
Look how much money these bankers and Wall Streeters made in the meantime.
Talk more about what's coming up in the world when Melody and I return on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisker with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Got an article here from Ms. Shedlock, and the headline is Russia announces it will target U.S. planes over Syria. All right. The threat of a direct Russian-American confrontation in Syria escalated on Monday, that's today, after Moscow said it would treat any plane from the U.S.-led coalition flying west of the Euphrates River as a potential target. Russia said it was responding to the U.S. planes shooting down a Syrian Air Force jet on Sunday. The U.S. said its planes had acted to defend U.S.-backed forces seeking to capture the Islamic State capital of Raqqa in the northeast Syria. Okay, they have an excuse for threatening our planes. We had an excuse for shooting down Syrian planes. Everybody's got an excuse, but we are perhaps as close to nuclear war as we have ever been. Russia and the United States are threatening, well, the Russians are threatening to shoot U.S. airplanes out of the sky. And I guarantee you it's not going to happen without the United States. Well, there'll be a reaction, and it may be somebody gets smart and they cooler heads may prevail, but we are in danger at the moment. The other, talk about cutting off your nose to spite your face. The Russian ministry also said it would respond to the attack by suspending its communications channel with Washington, which is designed to prevent collisions and dangerous incidents in Syrian airspace. All right? We just shut down a Syrian jet. Russians are threatened down to shoot down American jets. And we're not going to talk to anybody about it. We're going to cut down the communication channel, which is designed to prevent Russia coming into direct conflict with the United States. You know, you look at Syria, and it's been obvious for months now, perhaps a year or more. Once Russia got in there, we got Russia, there we got Syria, there we got Iran there. Everybody's got a stake in this thing. Everybody's, Turkey is involved. Everybody's flying around, shooting, you know, bombing, whatever. How long can you do this before you wind up shooting somebody else's airplane down? Well, may not be your enemy, or maybe an enemy that you don't want to fight. You put everybody in this one container called Syria, and you don't know who's going to get bumped off next. And depending on who gets bumped off, we may respond, they may respond. God knows what's going to happen, but this is a problem. And here is a final comment in this article. It says the growing risk of a direct confrontation between the United States and Russia follows a decision by U.S. President Donald Trump to grant his military chiefs untrammeled control of the U.S. military strategy in Syria. All right? But this is saying, look, Trump said, I'm not going to try to micromanage what's going on in Syria. I'm going to trust you generals to handle this. You do what you want. And they did what they wanted, and it shot down a Syrian jet. Now what? I mean, I don't know what to say about this, but
well,
this will probably slide through this like we usually do. But this is a serious problem. This is as serious a problem, and I'm talking about Syria in general, and particularly the potential conflict between the United States and Russia. How's this going to be resolved? Cooler heads had better prevail, or we're going to see trouble like we've never seen before.
Well, Reuters, the article is from Reuters, and, you know, the U.S. had, had down the jet, but also Iran. Iran is a part of the picture, too. They fired several ballistic missiles on Sunday night in eastern Syria, and what it said was a message to Saudi Arabia and the United States. So, you know, I mean, it's so dangerous. It is, it's, and gold goes down today. That was my whole point of wanting to talk about this. Are you kidding me? Here we're, and you know what? It's like anything else, Al. It's like no one believes anything anymore because we've been so misled. We've been so, they've created this illusion that everything is fine and dandy as long as that, oh, well, that can't be serious. The stock markets are up today. It didn't react.
Well,
so
it
we
may
must be
just manipulation. It may be that the natural forces of the market tried to push the price of gold higher, and it may be that the manipulators said, we're pushing it down.
Absolutely, it was manipulated, because normally gold would have gone up $100. I mean, we're just not talking about, you know, we're just not talking about, you know, a little conflict here.
No, I understand. This is a serious problem. This could really end. You look at this, and you see things like Russia is closing down the communication channel. It almost looks like Russia is cooperating in helping to create circumstances where we have some kind of significant escalation in the war in Syria that involves increased conflict between the United States and Russia. It's as if somebody's sitting back and says, all right, let's have a war. Everybody ready? Everybody? Russians, ready? We'll have a war. How about you Turks? And in a little secret room, they decide they're going to have a war, and perhaps that's what's going to happen. It almost looks like they're pushing for it. This is so stupid. How could people be so damn dumb?
And yet here we are. The Iranian officials threatened more strikes. The former Guard Chief General Mohsen Rezai, he wrote, now, I don't believe this. Because, I mean, why would an Iranian official, former guard chief, write on Twitter? I mean, are you kidding me?
Everybody's doing it. Trump has made put Twitter on the map. Before it was
so
it was an amusement park. Now it's where we conduct major political business.
But he says the bigger slap is yet to come. And this is scary stuff.
No, I know. It really is. It really is. I mean, this is potentially the biggest conflict we've seen, maybe since the Cuban missile crisis back in the 1960s. I don't know. This might be as big, potentially as big as that. And like you were just saying, Iran is in this thing too, but Turkey. Iran is behaving in a way that is perhaps aggressive or at least highly defensive. I don't know how you want to look at it, but it doesn't matter. I don't care what your reason is. If you are launching significant ballistic missiles, there's a problem here. This is not something you use for shooting ducks. Understand? When those things start to fly, people start to die. And then they and their survivors get angry. But it looks like this thing just spinning out of control. And we'll watch and see the next, 72 hours may be critical. There'll be some lingering resentments. Maybe everybody's going to tamp this down and it will perhaps be okay. And it probably will be okay. We'll probably get through. But it's like anything else. I mean, it's like walking on a tightrope wire.
Well,
we may get through, but this is dangerous business.
I did read that the Reuters article says that Washington is trying to reestablish communications, trying to avoid. And the top U.S. military officer said the two sides were in delicate discussions to lower tensions. But I'll tell you what, if this would have even been talked much on the news programs or anything today, the stock market would have fell. It wouldn't have made new highs today.
Well, I don't know which general is responsible for this, but I'll tell you that if I was Trump and I had given the military the option to control things over there, I would want to know who was the lame brain who shot down that Syrian jet. because somebody, I don't know what they're thinking about, but it was stupid.
That's the problem of having these generals in all of these positions, because what do generals do, Al? They go to war. It's what they're trained for. You know, to be involved in a war, that's like owning gold and having it go to 5,000. So it is dangerous, and you know, they're fighters. So
yeah, they're fighters, they're bureaucrats, they're politicians, but
well, they
somebody's
go to
gotta
the,
have
war,
sense. Somebody's
war
got
mongers.
To have some sense. You can't just sit back and say, I'm a general, I'm a soldier, and I'll shoot anything that moves.
I don't think that's
have
what
to have
they
a little
do,
more
Al,
sense.
But
well, that's what it comes down to with this jet. And they're claiming that there was justification for shooting this jet down, and maybe there was. There may be a wonderful justification. But if so, what did Assad do sending that jet out in the first place? Whatever's going on in Syria, we have a bunch of dummies. All right, or at least enough dummies. I don't know if we have a bunch of dummies, one dummy, two dummies, but there's stupid people over there that are putting the whole world at risk while they play soldier or president or dictator, whatever it is they're playing. It's really just, you look at it and just shake your head and say, oh my God, these people are out of their minds. And we're out of our minds to trust them. We're going to trust what? Assad? Generals? Russian military? Who are we going to trust over there? A bunch of...
Who do we trust over here?
I don't know. And God you trust. I think that's the only sensible thing that's really, God we trust.
Yes.
And it's the sort of thing that's easy to say, and it sounds trite and cliched and rose that, but maybe that's the truth of the matter.
Yes.
But it is just another sign. It's like, that's the deal. It's like gold drops. It should have jumped $20, $50. I don't know how much, but it should be up. And it's like, good Lord, what fools these mortals be. You look at it, and the world is crazy. And we've said that a bunch of times on the program, but it's just getting stranger and stranger and stranger.
Well, you know what? That's how it is.
And you can only be crazy for so long before you get locked up.
Wolf has been cried so many times, and people, until it hits them in the face, hits them in the head, they're just going to go on. And as long as those markets are high, that's what they protect.
I understand that.
But still, you would have thought this...
It can't survive.
It can't survive.
Right? It can't survive.
Absolutely.
It can't survive because there is no real foundation for the records we've set in the stock markets. It's not as if the corporations are doing fabulously well. There's a lot of them are just barely hanging on. The stock market is not an accurate index of how well, how strong or weak the economy is.
That's what
because
people
it's been
believe,
manipulated. It's like taking a thermometer and holding a match under the bulb at the bottom of the thermometer, and then you get a result that says it's 100 degrees. No, it's not. It's about freezing. All right? It's like 45. It's not 100, but as long as we hold the match under that thermometer, it looks like it's 100 degrees. Hot weather. Time to go to the beach. Maybe not. And what's the lesson in all of this? I mean, for me, it's difficult to find out what the truth of the matter is. And all of this stuff. Because it's difficult to find people you can trust. But ultimately, you have to trust your own eyes and ears. What do you see? What do you hear when you're driving down the road in your own community? Do you see more construction? Do you see more stores that are vacant? Do you see more people employed, unemployed? Does Aunt Marge have a job? Or is Uncle Chuck, has he been laid off? What do you see in your life? What you see is perhaps a better indication. I mean, it gives you really a little bit of objective evidence as to what may be going on in the larger economy. And Uncle Chuck and Aunt Marge don't necessarily determine whether the economy is going up or down. But they give you some clues that you may be able to believe in. And in the absence of having reliable information, then, you know, it puts you in a position where you've got to find a way to protect yourself if you think there's a credible threat. You know, and that's a decision you make on your own. Maybe you believe that, maybe you don't. But from what we're hearing in Syria, it's like, oh my God, these people are
Something else that sort of is this just they didn't have anything to write about or talk about or do anything about, or is there another reason why there's some Senate Republican negotiators that since they're not close to a deal on health care reform and that's scheduling a vote by July 4th, that Mitch McConnell has pushed it likely unrealistic, they're looking to possibly forego their August recess.
Oh, now it's serious, Melanie.
That's my whole point. It's
yeah,
like,
we'll wait and see. We will wait and see, Melanie. It's like they're going to have a nuclear war next week, but that's not going to interfere with Congress taking a recess.
But there are, that's what I mean, I'm, you know, this is a little lighthearted.
I'm going to be surprised if they don't get their recess.
But they said there's no way McConnell would go for it. But my whole point is there an underlying reason that perhaps maybe they're expecting the economy? They need those tax cuts for this economy. And if they don't get it this year, the economy isn't going to hold through the fall. So is this a sign that, you know, with the budget, with the debt ceiling?
They're trapped, cornered. They are between the rock, the hard place.
Plus, not only that, we had this Georgia election. Is that tonight or tomorrow? It's going to be, you know, are they feeling the pressure for next year's elections that they want to get these things done? So there's probably a multitude of reasons, and I doubt that they'll eliminate the recess. But it is interesting. You know, you could think that there's might be something underlining the promotion of doing just that. You know, are they expecting something a little more serious happening in August?
Are they expecting us to get out of this? That's what I'd like to know. I don't care about August exactly or September or whatever. Do they think we can get through this? Does anyone really think we can get through this? Yeah, we may be able to hold off for another year. I don't know when it's all going to blow
up. Well, they're just going to go through the motion is the point. I mean, of course they're not going to be able to stop it or anything, but are they being there? Are my point, Alan, I'm not sure you're getting my point, but are they suggesting to be there for when things happen?
Maybe they're suggesting to be home or in their... I don't know where they're suggesting on being, but whether they
break time, thank goodness.
All right, we'll take a break and we'll come back here to grumble and gripe and shake our heads and roll our eyes in just a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisker with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
90% silver. It's the best silver out there that you can buy, folks. It's a great price. Just pennies over. Well, it's a little more than pennies. Less than a dollar over spot price. You get real legal tender. It's spendable. And it's a very cost-effective to purchase your silver in this manner. And it's the old pre-1964 and prior to. Well, I said pre-1964. Quarters, dimes. We had the $25 face value. And, of course, you can buy it in larger volume too. You can buy it in bags if you like, and it disappears once that price of silver begins to move up. There's not a lot of 90% silver out there, and those premiums begin to creep up. They get close to Silver Eagle premiums, and at that point in time you're better off with Silver Eagle. So now's a great time to be adding the 90% silver to your portfolio if you don't have it, or you just need to accumulate a little more of it. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter that comes out on Monday afternoon. Al?
We're touching a little bit on Obamacare in the last segment. Here's an article from Fox News. It says Obamacare premiums spiked more than 100% in the last 4 years. A recent federal report found that Obamacare's insurance regulations contributed to premiums more than doubling over the past 4 years. Average exchange premiums were 105% higher in the 39 states using the healthcare.gov in 2017. Than average individual market premiums in 2013. In other words, today the average premium is $5,712 compared to $2,784 back in 2013. Price has doubled, all right, or at least the premium has doubled in 4 years. Senator Rand Paul, Republican from Kentucky, who's calling for a full repeal of Obamacare, said prices will never go down if we keep the Affordable Care Act's regulations. According to Paul, he says the regulations are what add to the price, and the regulations are what cause the death spiral of Obamacare. He added that the Republican health care plan doesn't fix that death spiral. It just subsidizes it with federal taxpayer money. What they don't really explain is there's no federal money up there. We're $500 billion in a hole every year. We have a $20 trillion debt, Paul said. Where does all this money come from to stabilize insurance? He noted that the insurance companies already make $15 billion a year and argued that it doesn't make sense for taxpayers to give them a penny. Well, I'll say one thing about Rand Paul. He looked like a kid in the last Republican primary. I think he's actually gaining some gravitas. He's beginning to look and sound like an adult, and we may yet see Rand Paul running for the Republican nomination. I mean, he didn't have really a chance in his last one, but we may see Paul's going to give it a shot in 2024. And maybe even 2020, depending on how things work out. But I don't know. He's trying to do the right thing, I guess. But he's correct. There's no federal money up there. We talked about this last week. Government is arranging where they can effectively pay. We've got a budget, a deficit ceiling. Can't go over $20 trillion right now. government is doing some tricky stuff in order to continue to fund the government, but they've only got a couple more months before they have to increase the deficit ceiling, debt ceiling. What does that prove? They're maintaining the illusion that they can pay the bills, but they can't. $20 trillion in debt is evidence that the government is broke, and it didn't go broke this year. It's been broke for some time. Technically, the government is bankrupt. It's insolvent. The only way it can go on and continue is it has to keep borrowing money. As I said last week, if I imagine I buy a car, I've got a payment to make every month on the car. I can't make the payment. I get my mom to pay it. She loans me the money so the payment can be made this month. The bank doesn't care. They got their money. From their perspective, the loan is still good. But it, from a realistic perspective, if I've got to borrow money from mom to make my car payment, it's evidence that I'm broke. All right? That's a bad thing. That's a dangerous condition. And the same thing is true with the government. They're $20 trillion in debt, and they're walking around as if they're solvent. It's like Rand Paul says. He says, there's no federal money up here. We're $500 billion in the hole every year. Imagine that you were running your home, your business, your family on that basis, where you just got deeper and deeper into debt every year. Is that evidence that you're strong, or is it evidence that you're headed for bankruptcy? So I'm just looking at this. The Obamacare premiums doubled in 4 years, and I don't think it can be afforded. I think, and it may be politically unacceptable, unwise, imprudent, say we're just going to cancel Obamacare. A lot of people are going to scream and shout about that, but I'm willing to bet you that it can't be afforded. We may keep it, who knows? I don't know how much longer we'll keep it, but it's not going to help this country as much as it's likely to damage this country. It's contributing to that incredible debt. Sooner or later, it's going to be recognized. Emperor is nude, okay? He's walking around. He thinks he acts as if he's, you know, got a great set of clothing, but he doesn't. He's nude. That's what's true with our government right now. They're broke, and they've been broke a long time, and they're getting broker every day. So in any case, Obamacare, if we lived in a rational world, Obamacare would never have been enacted in the first place. If we lived in a rational world today, Obamacare would be canceled. Instead, the Republican health care plan doesn't fix the problem. It just subsidizes it with federal taxpayer money. Where are they going to get that? All right? You're going to tell us, oh, your premiums on Obamacare aren't going to go up. We and the government are magnanimously going to provide the extra funds to keep your premiums down. Where are they going to get the funds from? Ultimately, they're going to get them from the American taxpayers, or at least that's their plan. Huh? I mean, there's no such thing as a free lunch. And that was part of the big sales pitch with Obama. This Obamacare, we're going to get a free lunch. No, we're not. So what do you do? Well, you have to wake up, I guess, and you have to begin to call a spade and realize this is trouble, and it's just another one of those problems that are going to get us. Right? We can't simply shuck and jive and avoid these problems, go to the left, go to the right. We're going to have to confront these problems sooner or later. And I think that's maybe why government needs that recess so bad. They're going to go back home and build their courage. Melody, get drunk. Get a bottle of Jack Daniels and maybe a couple of them. Put in the luggage to bring back to Washington, so they can deal with the problems that are coming. And they're gonna get us sooner or later. Problems cannot be avoided forever. And when they do break loose, it's going to be a bad situation. It will be an unfortunate situation, but it will also be a stupid situation, because we've got a bunch of morons in charge of running the asylum. What else, Melody?
Remember the young man that was a prisoner in North Korea?
Yep.
He was arrested and tried for, I don't know, 15 years hard labor. They brought him home about a week ago, maybe. Maybe mm-hmm. It's been a little over a week. He died. He died today, this afternoon. And just a few days after he was released from the captivity in North Korea. So it was a strange situation and was a sad ending. But he was such
He was allegedly, they said he was in some kind of a coma, even though he was up and walking around. He was mentally disabled, according to some. Some allegedly said he would never be right again. I don't know if it turns out.
Well, I didn't hear anything about him being able to walk and
well, I saw pictures of him. I saw pictures of him with two Korean guards, one on each arm, as they were bringing him over wherever he was going. And he was
were they
able
carrying
to stand.
Him or dragging him? Was he walking?
I don't know. I'm just telling you what I saw from the pictures. And apparently they decided to get rid of him before he died, let him die at home.
Yeah. He was. They said he was unable to speak, see, or react to verbal commands. But other than that, I just figured he was in a coma. I didn't realize he was. But anyway, so they don't say why he died. What, you know?
God knows. The North Koreans know.
Yeah.
They could apparently see that this was coming, and they wanted to get rid of him before he died.
Mm-hmm.
He was freed for political purposes, I would suppose. Not humanitarian purposes. He was freed for political purposes. Yeah. That's a guess. Yeah. An article here from Huffington Post. And the headline is, Democrats are children of Satan, right-wing radio host says. Last week's shooting at the Alexandria, Virginia baseball field left 6 people injured, including 2 lawmakers. One of those wounded, Representative Steve Scalise, Republican from Louisiana, remained hospitalized after multiple surgeries and was upgraded from critical to serious condition over the weekend. The gunman died. The violence led to numerous displays of unity among lawmakers on both sides of the aisle, including shared prayers. Okay? But Jesse Lee Peterson, who is a black man, but he's also a right-wing radio host, which has to be a pretty lonely, you know, occupation. I mean, there's something where... Huh. But he's a right-wing radio host. He slammed the acts of political unity after the shooting. Peterson dismissed the prayers of Democrats, the Democrats offered, saying, "Why would you want to pray with the children of Satan? They serve a different God than you. That's reality. What are these Democrats praying for? The Democrats are not of God," Peterson said. All of a sudden, when Scalise gets shot, then when they hear about the shooting, all the children of Satan are going to come together and pray? Oh, please. And my point in this is that cooler heads are not prevailing. We could have hoped that in the aftermath of the shooting, maybe we would tone down rhetoric, all right? And maybe the left would tone down its rhetoric. And they've been saying some stupid things, some violent things. They've been behaving like a bunch of thugs. Maybe the fact that a couple of people got shot sobered them up a little bit, and they said, "Wait a second, we got to pull in our horns." But if it did, here's at least one right winger who says, "Nope, he's not having it." And I'm not voting in favor. I'm not saying this is a good thing. I'm not saying that the commentator, he's calling the Democrats the children of Satan and refusing. He doesn't want their prayers.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, some of this stuff, why don't they put him in charge of the military and ship him off to Syria? You know, that's what we need. We need another crazy guy over in Syria to direct the military.
Wars and rumors
are what they talk about in the Bible in end times, and boy, I'll tell you,
if people are praying, who's to judge? You know,
I understand that.
That's
I'm not going to turn down anybody's prayers. I mean, that's one thing.
I don't care
if I don't like them. I don't care if I hate them. Praying is praying. I'm not. I don't. I'm not going to make light of that in other people. But it was just interesting to me that they're not, you know, cooler heads are not prevailing. We seem determined to be polarized and kind of celebrate our animosity for other people. Some of us, at least. And when I say some of us, I'm not just talking about idiots. I'm not just talking about thugs, although that's part of it. But I'm talking about people in positions of power. They seem determined to have the last word. And they don't care whether they win or lose. It doesn't matter if the whole world is destroyed, but I had the last word. I don't know, Melody. We're getting down to where we have the last word for today. You have one last word you'd like to add right now, Melody? You got 15 seconds.
90% silver, great buy. Get it while you can. Have a pullback in silver today. Now, I can't imagine that these would not be higher tomorrow. So give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
Okay, folks, we're out of time. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope you tune in then. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.